More of Lake Effect now. I'm Mitch Tyke. If you came of age more than a few years ago, you probably remember the time when a vacation included a stop at a, shall we say, dubious roadside attraction. Places like the Mystery Spot or the Alligator Rodeo used to be commonplace along the roads and highways of America. They're harder to find now, but fortunately, writer Jerry Polin has done the hard work and assembled many of Wisconsin's unique attractions in an updated version of his book, Oddball Wisconsin. Polin lives in Chicago, but he joined us in the studio recently to give us some suggestions for an oddball tour of our state. Welcome to Lake Effect.
Thank you. I'm wonderful to be here.
You have authored a whole oddball series of books about different states. Is Wisconsin any weirder than any place else?
Oh, definitely.
You're just saying that.
No, I mean, if for no other reason, the Wisconsin Dells, you know, those, you know, sort of this vortex of weirdness in the upper Midwest.
This is a new edition of a book that was first compiled 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. And at the risk of adding serious cultural significance to this interview, you write that things have disappeared from the landscape in the interim, and there are other oddities that are on the endangered species list.
Absolutely. And sometimes they're, you know, you don't find these in large cities anymore because of the property values. You have to go out into the field and look for these things, and with the exception of the Wisconsin Dells where they seem to assemble. Most of the places, you know, you should see them now or you likely won't see them in the future.
So how did this subspecialty of travel writing happen to become your specialty?
You know, it started because I wanted to get away from the Chicago Cubs, believe it or not. I lived in Wrigleyville, and one day the crowds were coming for a day game, and a friend of mine and I just said, we got to get out of here. So we headed up into Wisconsin, started looking for strange things. I had a guidebook that was not very helpful, didn't have any addresses. We got lost. We only saw a few things. And I thought, you know, this is the kind of thing I'd like to see. And it became this obsession for me. And anytime something happened in the news or I heard about something on TV or on the radio, I would jot notes down. And now I've got huge filing cabinets, one for each state, where I'm throwing in information all the time for places to visit.
And being in Chicago, I would think that doing the Wisconsin field work would be pretty easy.
Oh, yes, yes. And you can get to the weirdness sooner by going up into Wisconsin than you can going downstate into Illinois.
What makes a really good – you know, what makes something jump out at you that makes you want to drive there?
Well, I think there has to be some sort of passion involved. I mean, the sites that I really enjoy, there has to be some sort of passion. Like there's this guy by the name of James Frank Katera who's up in Lake Nabagoma up near Superior, Wisconsin. Since April 3rd, 1975, he's been winding a twine ball. And he did it because he gave up drinking and he decided, I'm going to do something productive with my time. And he started building this twine ball. And it's not like wrapping it around and around in circles. He winds these things in and out and twists them around. It's actually beautiful when you get up close to this thing. And it's maybe 9 feet tall and about 12 feet wide. It's sort of like a large jelly bean. It's not so much of a ball. It's all these different colored twines from hay bales and blues and greens and yellows and reds. And they're all twisted down. It looks like the surface of a brain. And when you touch it, it's very squishy. But this guy just pulled up. He's out there. He's working away like he's been doing it for 30 years or I guess 40 years. And, you know, that passion is the sort of thing that I really can appreciate. And it's not really a typical tourist attraction. You know, there's not an entry fee or anything like that, but he's always there and you can go visit with him.
Right. It seems like the kind of thing that would be unlikely to plan a weekend around, but if you're in the area, it makes for an interesting hour.
Absolutely. It's worth going out of your way for.
He must be – he's kind of kindred spirits with Fred Smith, who the mastermind behind the concrete park.
Right, up in Phillips, Wisconsin. And he built about 230-some concrete statues after he retired from a life of logging in and around this bar that he ran. And many of them were damaged back in the 80s, and they were restored by the Kohler Foundation. And now you can go visit Fred Smith's Wisconsin Concrete Park. And there are these figures that are all embedded with glass and tile work. And they have some of his friends. They've got salutes to baseball teams, and he's got an entire Clydesdale team.
You mentioned the Wisconsin Dells. There's a whole section of this book on the Dells. And it really – it is an area that was probably developed with this kind of book in mind. But what jumps out at you, even within the craziness that is the Dells, as especially odd?
But by far, in a way, that's an easy question to answer. It's called Top Secret. And what it is an upside-down White House. It looks like somebody has taken the White House, turned it upside down, and dropped it. You go inside, and everything is on the ceiling. Not just the furniture, the drapes hang up. There are George Washington is standing on the ceiling, and as you're going from room to room, they explain what this is, but it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. You eventually end up through all these caverns down in a laboratory where they're building this robotic Obama. And, they're just making all kinds of corny jokes. And, you meet Bill Clinton's there and he's got stumps on his arms. And they're like, well, where are his hands? Well, he couldn't keep his hands to himself. So just corny jokes
and
like that.
And it's all upside down.
Everything's upside down. So you're walking on the ceiling and they're standing on the floor and they're upside down. And it's very confusing. And I didn't quite figure it out, but I did enjoy it.
There are also a lot of locations in this book that are really just locations. They're not even necessarily marked. But you would say it's enough to know that stuff happened there?
Oh, absolutely. I'm trying to think of an example.
Orson Welles' birthplace in Kenosha.
Oh, yeah. Orson Welles' birth. We got birthplaces that we don't know about, like where exactly Frank Lloyd Wright was born. There's like seven sites that lay claim to this, and only one of them seems to be accurate. But yes, I do.
I was interested. No such dispute exists in the Daniel J. Travanti birthplace,
but that's
apparently up the street from Orson Welles.
And Al Molinaro.
Oh, right.
Yes,
right.
It was also from Kenosha. Yes.
There are some little known roadside plaques. I was interested in the part of Madison where Elvis Presley apparently broke up a fight between two teenagers in 1977.
Yes, it was 52 days before he died. He'd came into town. It was 1 a.m. His limousine pulled up along Washington Avenue and he saw these two guys beating up another guy. He jumped out of the limousine, ran over there, gave him sort of a karate stance, and the fight stopped and he got everyone to shake their hands. He got back in his limo and took off. Well, believe it or not, somebody has commemorated this site with a little headstone, and it explains it all on, it looks like a tombstone headstone. But it explains all of this event on this tombstone, and it's in a little park. The park is maybe 4 feet by 2 feet.
Carved out of a used car lot.
Yeah, right? Next to a used car lot, correctly.
Well, and so let's talk about some of the other places that are maybe very close to home for people who are listening to this. Starting in downtown Milwaukee, I can see one of them from by just craning my head at my desk. The Ladybug Club is in this book.
Right. These large ladybugs that are crawling all around on the outside of this building across the street. If you go one block in the other direction, you can see Gertie the Duck. Gertie was a duck that had some eggs that she was hatching in the very waning days of World War II, and people had enough of the war, and they were very interested in Gertie's brood. And they stopped construction on the bridge over the river here. And today, now there's a monument to Gertie the Duck on the end of the bridge.
What else do you think is odd and maybe less well-known in Milwaukee?
People who attend Marquette probably know that the Joan of Arc stone is in the chapel there on campus. And supposedly this was a stone she was at before she was burned at the stake. And reportedly, if you touch it, it's colder than the other stones around it. And we go there today and you can test it out for yourself.
Have you tested this out?
Yes, I have. And it does seem to be colder. I'm not too superstitious, but you can't argue with the temperature.
Tell me about the concept of acrobatic goats. There's a really compelling picture in this book of a goat apparently going down what looks sort of like a zip line.
Yes. Goats, and I didn't realize this. I even though I grew up in the country, I didn't grow up on a farm. Goats love to climb. And they have over in Spring Green, there's a Peck's Farm Market. They have a little pen where these goats, there's towers, and towers are connected by these teeny little ramps. And if you put food into a little canister that they have a clothesline that you can pull it all the way up to the top of this tower. And then the goats go up to one tower and across the little ramp, up to the next tower, up to the next tower, and all the way up to the peak to get this food from you.
How much of what is in the 2013 edition was in the original?
I would say maybe half. You know, there's quite a bit that's new in the book. It went from about 200 sites to about 400 sites. One of my favorite new sites, though, is a place called Rocks for Fun Cafe in Tigerton.
And I have no idea where Tigerton is.
It's sort of up near Green Bay, okay. But a little bit west of there. There's a guy by the name of Don McClellan, and he had this cafe, and he started making these little puns built out of rocks. So it would be something like the coffin rock, and it has a little coffin with a rock in it that's dead, with little dead eyes, with little X eyes. It's spelled cough, like C-O-U-G-F, and it has a little
– C-O-U-G-H probably.
C-O-U-G-H. And it has this dead rock and a little poem about why you shouldn't smoke. And there are about 322 of these things at the time this book went to press, and he's got 160-some on the drawing board. You can go on his website and look at this. And this guy is like Henny Youngman. He goes between the tables, and he pulls these things off the walls, and he shows you these little, you know, they blow up in your face or, you know, they bounce on a spring. And it just goes on and on and on. When I stopped by there, I was the only customer, and it was at full attention from Mr. McClellan. But it's definitely worth going out of your way for.
Take my rock, please.
Yes.
So going beyond the border of Wisconsin, what are some of the other kinds of really interesting places that you have come across recently or maybe in Wisconsin?
Right now I'm working on an Oddball Michigan book, and I'll be up there next week. One of the things that I found up in Michigan, and it's at their historical museum, but I didn't realize it was there until I turned the corner and there it was the baby grand piano that Stevie Wonder learned how to play at the Michigan School for the Blind. And they've taken this baby grand and they put it in a display about the Motown sound, and even though that baby grand was not from Motown.
Well, very good. Jerry Poland, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Jerry Poland is the author of a series of books on unusual tourist attractions, the latest of which is Oddball, Wisconsin. He's also a book editor, and he lives in Chicago. He joined us recently before a reading at Milwaukee's Boswell Book Company. That's Monday's edition of Lake Effect. I'm Mitch Teich. Thank you so much for tuning in today, and I sure hope you'll be with us again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for Lake Effect from WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. It's 11 o'clock. Stay tuned. Fresh air is next.